So long in here, we ought to talk about this person that you met by the name of Diane.
Right.
Tell us about her and what happened.
Well, I met Diane in early 1971. They didn't have liquor by the drink, and they opened up a new club, they called them, called The Vault. It's on 31st Street. And I went out one night, and I met Diane. And we got along pretty well. We had a few dates. And then in the spring, she invited me to go up with her family up to Grand Lake, which began a lifelong love of Grand Lake. I liked Diane a lot. We dated the whole year. But then I had this opportunity to go in business, which meant I was going to move to San Francisco in November. Her father had helped me acquire the loan for Seal Company Enterprises, Seal Co., and so I couldn't go to California without her. I wouldn't go to California without her, but she says, I'm not going with you unless I'm married. So we married November 7th, 1971, and we've been married for 52 years.
And you have children out of that marriage?
We have two sons, and we have four grandchildren.
Two sons and their names?
Jason Hudson is my oldest. He's 48 years old. He's now CEO of R.L. Hudson Company. And my youngest son is Blake Hudson. He's 45 years old, and he works for a company called OneStream. He takes care of the federal government for his software manufacturing company up in Morristown, New Jersey.
Oh, how many grandchildren do you have?
I have four grandchildren, two twins here, 14-year-old twins, a boy and a girl, Levi and Olivia, Jason's twins. And then Blake has a son, Carter, who is 13 years old, and a daughter, Tatum. And they live in Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay. So back into the business. Seal Co., tell us about your percentage of that company.
Well, I owned 25% of Seal Co. And the deal we made was with the Kansas City people that after they would come in and they would help set up the business. And after 1 year, McDowell and I demanded the right to buy the company, and we would have to pay them the original investment back, their $30,000. And then we would also have to pay them an increase in whatever the company increased. I convinced them that we could sell, we could do very well, we could grow the business, which in fact we did. And then McDowell and I were given this opportunity to move to California, and we opened that business called McDowell and Company, which is still in business. And we were living in Foster City, California, and the company was in San Mateo. And Don and I, he wanted to be the controlling partner. He had 51%, I had 49%. We couldn't take any money out of the business. We were living in San Francisco. It was pretty tough. It was a cold winter. I didn't like it. Diane didn't like it. And we decided that we wanted to live in Oklahoma. So I made a deal with Don that I would give him my 49% of McDowell and Company if he would give me his 25% of Seal Co. And we made the deal, and we moved back to Tulsa, and then we announced to the Kansas City people that we were exercising our agreement to buy the company. And that didn't go over very well with them. They said, well, now, our agreement, we were going to help you get a distributorship. You got the distributorship. We want to keep Seal Co. And I said, well, that's not the way the agreement is written. The agreement is written that we have the right to buy, and I now control 50% of the company. I want to buy Seal Co., and I want to run it. They were running the company. They had possession, and possession is 99% of the law. And so I had to enter into a lawsuit against them, which I fought for almost 9 years.
Wow.
The Kansas City people went to Parker Seal, and they took, they said that I was going to buy the company. They didn't want to sell it, and Parker took their side. They said, Rick Hudson is too young.
How old were you?
I think I was 1971. I was 27, something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was young. I was inexperienced, which was true. and I was undercapitalized, all of which were true. But I had the contract. Sealco was my idea, and I wanted to own that company and run it. And so I didn't have enough money to file a lawsuit, but I had a lawyer friend, Paul Hodgson, who was a dear man. He's deceased now. And he took it on a contingency basis. And we fought that from 1972 until 1979 was when we won it. And it was very tough because I didn't have to pay legal fees, but I did have to pay the cost of depositions and supplies and things like that. So what I did in the meantime is I accepted the job with a polyurethane manufacturing company in Manchester, New Hampshire. It was a German company, a part of Freudenberg, a big German seal manufacturer, and it was a wonderful experience working for Dysegren Industries. I traveled the Southeast, but my biggest break in that came when the man who had this territory was sadly killed in a car wreck, and they asked me to come back to this territory here. Atlanta was not a manufacturing area. Tulsa and Kansas, or Oklahoma and Kansas and Texas, were much better manufacturing areas. So this gave me an opportunity to make more money, and so I was able to stay afloat while I was fighting this lawsuit.
So then the lawsuit was decided and you won in 79?
Yes.
So then you gave up your work with...
I left Dysegren. I'm still very good friends with the former president of Dysegren, and I decided that I was going to try to go into my own business. For a short period of time, I worked with my friend John Roget in the oil business. He was buying a rig, and I was in charge of buying that rig, but I really didn't know that business. So I took the money that I had received from the lawsuit, which after taxes and the lawyer share was $100,000.